Welcome to the Healing for Male Survivors podcast. This is a podcast for male survivors of sexual abuse and assault, whether as a child or as an adult. Know that you are not alone and the abuse was not your fault. My name is Mike Chapman. I'm a certified recovery life coach and also a survivor. Let's find hope and healing together. Welcome to the Healing for Male Survivors podcast. I'm Mike Chapman, and we have our guest today, Peter, who's here to share his story. I'll share his intro in a minute. And if you would like to join us live on future podcasts, feel free to go to my website, Polar, P-O-L-A-R, lifeconsulting.com/live. To find out how you can join with our live audience. And we do have a live audience here with us today, as we do every week, and they can share questions to our speaker or comments, and we welcome those. And we would love to have you join us. And let me introduce Peter. Peter is a successful businessman and worship pastor. His journey has taken him through many ups and downs, including childhood sexual abuse, starting at age 5 by a family member. He's been a worship director for over 40 years, married for over 43 years, and has 3 children and many grandchildren. He has been on a healing journey for over 20 years, but has really been helped since meeting me 7 months ago at the Husband Material Retreat. This is his intro, not me. He threw that in. It's like, oh, okay, great. I'm glad I helped. We welcome Peter to the podcast. Again, to our audience members who are here live, if you'd like to put a question in, you can do so. You can be anonymous as you would like. We will only say your name if you actually manually type it in along with your question or comment. Let's go to how we normally start our interviews with 4 questions. Now it's time for 4 questions, that part of the podcast when we get to know our guest a bit better by asking a few questions. Let's go. And Peter, welcome to the podcast. And we'll start with 4 questions. First of all, what is your favorite food memory?
I was thinking about this. One of my favorite food memories would be about 45 years ago, Christmas and Easter dinners, where my family came over to my fiance's family's house, and there was a big, huge crowd of us for Easter and for Christmas dinner, and it was a lot of fun back then.
Mm-hmm. So what made it special? Just the fact that you were all together, or?
Yeah, everyone all together, and the food was always very good as well.
Right. Wonderful. And what is your favorite Christmas or holiday memory?
So we love getting together with our kids and our grandkids at least once. It's usually more than once during Christmas. They'll come over to our house for lunch. This year, it was a lot of fun. They came over for Christmas a little bit early, and Santa Claus happened to come on a Zoom call. And the kids, most of them, except the older ones, were really awe-inspired. That sounds better. That was
yes.
Fun.
Who happened to be that Santa Claus?
Well, he looked very much like you, but he was Santa.
I totally forgot that. That was you and your family. That's right. Yes. Peter hired me to be their virtual Santa, which is something I do on the side. If you know my story, that's part of it. And yes, I forgot. Yes, I was actually your Santa this year, coming in remotely via video. That's right. So that's wonderful. It's nice these days, now that we're post-COVID, and you can actually get together as a family and have a lot more special moments. And it's like we cherish them even more now, because we kind of didn't have that for a few years there. Yeah, that's excellent. Next question. What is your favorite church or house of worship memory?
Very musical family, my wife and I and our kids. And it wasn't too long ago. My son leads worship at another church, and when we all get together, my wife, myself, and my son, and my other son, and my daughter, and sing together. We've done that at my churches before, and at my son's church. It's just really nice. And I'm not trying to say that I'm wonderful or anything. I'm just saying that's a great experience, no matter how flat we are.
Oh, I'm sure it was wonderful. That sounds nice. Yeah, I've sang in church choirs in the past and different musicals, dramas, and so forth. And yeah, it takes a lot of work, but it's fun to have that show at the end, that performance, and knowing you're touching those people in the audience. So yeah, that makes for really good memories for sure. And let's see, what is your favorite scripture or any inspirational quote that has helped you on your spiritual journey, and what about it speaks to you?
For quite a while, my favorite Bible verse is in Zephaniah chapter 3. It says, In that day it shall be said of Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion, let your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Singing part, I really like that. To think that God is singing over me in right. all my failures.
Right. And your successes, too. All of those things. Yeah, all of that. Yeah. He loves all of you and rejoices just like a father. We rejoice in who our children are. Not what they do or don't do well necessarily, but just who they are. And yeah, I like that. That's really nice. So let's go with your story. You can start wherever you'd like. I know when I share my story, it bounces all along the timeline because that's how things unfolded for me. So start wherever you'd like. And yeah, let me know what it was like, what you went through. And then we'll talk about your healing journey and what you are doing these days.
Grew up in a rather strict Christian home. Mm-hmm. When there were guest pastors at our church, my mother was always the first to ask them to stay with us for a few days or a whole week. So we had a lot of strangers come in and out. Mm-hmm. I was normally a lonely child, had an older brother who didn't pay any attention to me, a father who would work all the time. When he was home, he would read the paper. I don't remember him interacting with me except to give me the belt when my mother said I deserved it.
How old was your brother, Peter?
He was only about 2 years older than me.
Okay, so not a huge separate, but he wanted nothing to do with you, sounds like, even though that's not a huge gap.
No.
Okay. Yeah, continue.
My mother was a good young Christian wife. She spent a lot of time at church doing good things, but very little time at home, and not too much time with me, I don't think. Didn't really have any friends, and when I started learning piano, that sort of made me different. I didn't like sports or gym, and the other boys often made fun of me. At 5 years old, this was before they started making fun of me, but at 5 years old, my mother's brother came to live with us as he attended university and was studying to become a doctor. Soon after he moved in, he started to play with me, and unbeknownst to me, began to groom me for what would happen in the next 7 years. My uncle was one of the few males, if not the only one, that wrestled with me, played cards with me, and things like that. Then we would start to play down in his bedroom with no one else around. At five, my uncle started to make our playing into sexual games. Eventually, it was just sex. So from the age 5 to 11, it may have been 12, he and I had many kinds of sexual activity. He penetrated every part of me and did whatever he wanted. I remember a couple of other guys that did the same thing. My uncle had a few of his friends over to meet me, and I thought maybe I had someone to play with, but very quickly they began to abuse me.
Were they closer to your age or to your uncle's age, these friends?
They were a little bit younger than my uncle, but not terribly. They were still closer to his age.
So they were still full adults?
Yeah, they were still adults. One at a time, not together, but they did abuse me. I was left to play with one of them, and the abuse quickly began. My uncle and his friends my uncle was 19. There were a couple of his friends a little younger than that and a little older than that. I always felt that I had a tattoo on my forehead that gave everyone permission to use me. I hated to going to overnight camp. For at least 5 years, I had to go for 2 weeks each summer. It was always a Christian camp and Christian counselors, but there was always a Christian counselor that sexually abused me for most of those years, if not all.
Was it different counselors or the same counselor who abused you?
The same counselor did abuse me a couple of years, but there were other counselors as well. The counselors would talk with me and then get me alone, would then force oral sex and sometimes anal. Each of them was probably between 16 and 22 at the oldest. They were all studying or planning to study some type of medicine or become a preacher, different things like that.
How old were you at these camps?
It would have been when I was eight until I was 12. I had to go to these Christian camps.
Wow.
There were at least two preachers that also sexually abused me before I was 13 years old. One I remember in the church basement. There were traveling preachers. They always stayed at our house overnight. I remember a particular kid's preacher. He was a ventriloquist and all the kids at the church loved him. It must have been summer Bible vacation school. In the evenings, I was told to go see him, and when I was there, he would sexually abuse me. Different times of the day I was alone with him, whenever he was able, he would take advantage of that. Evenings or sometimes the middle of the night, he would come and see me. And he really stands out as well in my head. Another time I remember being downstairs at the church. I was in the men's washroom, and a traveling preacher sexually abused me. There was a different preacher that found me down in the bathroom, must have assumed, or he was a different preacher, I'm sorry, that he could do what he wanted. And that I remember because there was nobody in the basement, just the washroom was there. And when I went down, I guess I shouldn't have gone down. I had a junior high Sunday school teacher, very nice guy, but he always called me by a girl's name. He thought it was funny. Right. I felt degraded and shamed, whether there were other boys around or not. I felt I wasn't a real boy or young man, but maybe I was a girl. And he thought it was cute to call me Susie or whatever he wanted to.
Right.
I don't know if he did that to other boys. I just know he did it to me. The church loved to have me there and use my musical ability. I was fine with that. I enjoyed playing the piano. Later, I learned to play the organ, the pipe organ, and the vibraphone.
Ooh, what's a vibraphone?
So it's, I think they call it something else. There's about four or five octaves of bars, like a xylophone. It had a thing on the bottom, so it would make a nice sound, and I'd play it. Actually, that's how I met my wife. The pastor thought she should learn to play it. I don't think he did, really, because she never learned to play it, but he got us together that way.
See, yeah. Sometimes pastors know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah, that's good.
I never really had any male friends at church, school, or anywhere. I still find it very difficult to connect with other men. Sometimes I'm too afraid to talk to other men or engage with them. I stand off at a distance. I don't believe they will accept me. I'm not good at sports, but I've never really played any sports. So that's why I'm not very good, or don't know that I'm good. And some of the ways that I've been affected, I believe my need for intimacy with other men is a result of the abuse and my standoffishness. I don't make friends easily. My body image is not very good, and I'm embarrassed by it. Men don't seem to talk to me very much. I worked with many therapists and Christians to work through some of my abuse in the last 25 years. Pastoral prayer counseling was completely worthless. I never spoke to another pastor about my abuse after that. I tried to get help for my pornography addiction at one of the large churches I attended, but I was told instead that I needed to resign, or the pastor would tell the congregation about my addiction.
Wow.
Five other therapists who deal with sexual abuse victims helped me understand some of the things about the abuse, but didn't help much with my depression or acting out with pornography. The acting out was being drawn to gay pornography, and I didn't understand why I would rather masturbate to that as opposed to any other kind of porn. I didn't mention to most of my therapists about the gay pornography issue, just about the sexual abuse that I experienced as a child. HMA and the HMA retreat last fall have been the first thing to actually help at all, and hopefully the healing will continue. I'm learning how to sit with and help heal my inner child. I had never heard anything about this until just recently. I've actually met many other men who have the same experiences and problems as me. I've thought for my entire life that I was the only one who experienced sexual abuse, which turned into same-sex attraction and all the rest that goes with that. I'm continuing with the Zoom calls and HMA, a triad that I belong to, and we meet every week.
For those unfamiliar, husband material, we've got, there's the paid academy section, which is what Peter's talking about. And they have the concept of triads, which is similar to accountability partners, but instead of two by two, they look for groups of three or four or larger. So that way, if one of those people is busy, you have backups to fall back on to support each other through that. And they call them triads. So yes, please continue.
Yeah, oddly enough, there are five of us in our group. And one of them one of them lives up actually not too far from where I am. And we have gotten together as well.
Oh, wonderful. That's great to do in person. I know three is a triad, four we call a quad, and more than that is a squad. So you got a squad.
Squad. Okay. I'm trying to figure out what five is. I think it's quint. I don't know what it is, but anyways.
Right. But it's squad. Squad works well. That's why it's like, yeah, it just doesn't have a good ring to it. A quintet. Yeah. It's so squad. Squad works. Because then it's five, six, seven. Shouldn't be more than that, but sometimes it just happens. And that's good because you got this huge army that can support each other.
Yes.
When one's weak, hopefully another one's strong and you can support each other as iron sharpens iron. So that's wonderful. Please continue.
No, the only thing left I had to say was that I'm also in a group therapy, which is almost over every Friday night. And that's really good as well.
Right. Is that with husband material or with a therapist or...
It's husband material. It's with Juan.
Oh, okay. Okay. You got a group with Juan Mejia, I think is how you say his last name. I think.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. It looks like that.
Yeah, I've got to ask him, but yeah, he's like one state away from me. He is in Georgia. I'm in North Carolina, and we're hoping to do some events later on this year, the two of us. So anyway, I like what you said about the sign on the forehead. Craig mentioned that last week as well, that same concept. And I think it's very common with survivors. It's like, I got like a neon sign, victim, 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 come abuse me. And it's like perpetrators can smell the victimhood on you once you've already been abused once. That's why so many who have been abused are at extreme high risk to be abused by others. Something about it, they can smell the victimhood on us. I hear that so many times with so many stories, and they'll say it in different ways. They have like sign on my forehead or glowing, flashing neon lights. Whatever. Yeah, that's how it feels. So, yeah. Did you ever tell your parents about what happened with you, either with the uncle or any of the other abuse?
I didn't tell them until about 10 years ago. My wife felt I should.
Mm-hmm.
And I agreed. And I told my mother. My father was already passed away. And it didn't go well, so I never mentioned it again.
And it was her brother who was the uncle.
Yes.
Has there been any kind of like family reunions, get-togethers, and so forth since your mother knew the truth that also involved the uncle trying to like get you guys together in the same room or not even thinking about it and inviting you both to the same event? Anything like that happen?
There was one reunion that my wife and I took my mother too. He was in there, but my wife kept me at the opposite side of the room, and I didn't have to do anything more than say hi to him.
Mm. But you did have to say hi.
Well, actually, I think my wife said hi to him.
So you didn't?
No, I don't think I did, but I was there.
And had you ever confronted him about what happened or talked to him about it?
It was a therapist. I wrote a letter to him, and that was in my therapy. I wrote a letter to him explaining everything.
Did you actually send it, or was it just by proxy and you just...
No, I sent it.
Oh, you did send it.
But I never heard a word back. And then he died. So.
Wow. Now, what about your wife? When did you tell her about everything that happened with you and your struggles and so forth?
So that would have been about 20-some-odd years ago when I resigned from a church. Because of that, I thought, I'm going to tell her. And I told her, and she was good after a day or two.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes they can be a huge support, but if they don't know right away, it's hard for them to understand why we struggle the way we do. Let me look at the Q&A really quick. I've got a comment from Dan Carlson. He says, glad you made it for your interview, Pete. Hey. And he reminds us the flashing neon sign was his line. That, yeah, I'm a broken little boy, come use me. So, yeah, I knew I got that somewhere. But, yeah, thank you, Dan. So now you're starting to get help. How is that going? What things are working for you in your healing journey, and what things haven't worked very well? Like you mentioned, talking about the issues with your church leadership, and it's like, nope, you got to step down. You're out of here, instead of actually being supportive. So obviously that didn't work. So what other things have or have not worked in your healing journey?
At this point, what has worked has been in a community of men that are very similar to me or understand about what I've gone through. And that's with the groups on husband material. That's really one of the few things that have really done any good in my life. There is some.
And that's the main group that's not necessarily abuse survivors, but just those with porn addiction or other sexual addictions, general sexual brokenness. But we do have the subgroup specifically for abuse survivors. And you get things out of both groups, correct?
Yes, that's right. I do. And counselors that I have had here, although I don't always understand what they're doing, like
you mean locally where you live, in-person counselors?
No, just on Zoom.
Oh, okay.
And it's a concept of sitting with your younger child and bringing Jesus into the group. And I mean, it works really well when there's someone talking me through it. It doesn't work quite as well when I'm doing it myself.
Right. I know Drew Boa, who's the founder of Husband Material, his podcasts and teachings. There's one about younger brother coaching, where we become the older brother that our younger selves never had, and you kind of step into a mentor role for the younger you. And so it's all plays out in your head. Yeah, I will share a link in the show notes with a YouTube link where Drew explains that concept of younger brother coaching. And that was helpful for my own healing as well to go through that. Dan mentions also theophostic approach in the group. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of theophostic is type of healing prayer. Then there's several other types of healing prayers that can direct. It's kind of like a spiritual version of some of the therapies that I've experienced with my non-Christian therapist. There's a lot of strong parallels there where you're kind of digging into your brain and acting out things and reprocessing memories so they are less traumatic. And it's all part of the concept of neuroplasticity, that we can, even old farts like us, retrain our brains and learn new synapses, new patterns, and connect things in different ways that can help us heal. So yeah, there's help for us old guys too. Because yeah, our brains still retain that neuroplasticity. I love that word. So yeah, that's great. Anything else that you found helpful?
Yeah, writing out stories is good. And going into your trauma and bringing it forward. And I've been doing that both with our group and also with the other group that I'm in, both in husband material. I've been doing a lot of that. And it does help.
Yeah, within the CSA support group that I lead within Husband Material, I make it a safe place where you can put posts in, you can create articles, write. It's kind of like journaling or blogging, but you do it where you can get comments. It's similar to what was in MaleSurvivor.org. They've got forums that have been there for like 20 years. Mostly non-Christian. There is a little subset of Christians in there. I wanted a safe place for Christian men to be able to share from their heart and their faith as well, where you can, yeah, it's the power of story, getting it out and getting it out of your head and on paper or virtual paper, getting those stories out. It helps to, I know as I type and when I write, it's like, it helps me process it. And then I'll move things around and then I'll think, oh yeah. And it just getting it on paper and viewing it just helps me process those memories even more. And I know right now we're doing the Spring Story Challenge, where they are challenging us to just come up with one scenario, one event, and then write about it in detail, as much detail as we can about the one event. And it's so helpful to, again, write things out, and then you can process it and talk about it and make connections as you're writing. And yeah, that's definitely very helpful. And like I say, it's the power of story. So anything else that's been working for you?
I believe that's about it. I go to different Zoom calls when I can. Right now I'm a little busy at work, but usually I go to a couple of them every week.
Right. Going back to the Q&A, Dan again, yeah, a story is powerful to process externally, like we mentioned. Dan just did one of the Spring Story Challenge as well. And I saw that that he shared as well. All this is on Husband Material on the free section. And it was good getting it down and the feedback as well. So yeah, you post. That's what I like about using it to blog or to journal, that you get feedback and people will post comments. Very supportive. Sometimes they'll ask questions or they'll make connections that I might not have made necessarily. So it's great to have it become a sounding board as well as a place to just land your stories. So yeah, that's been very helpful. So I know you can find Peter again on Husband Material and in our CSA support group on Husband Material. Links for all that will be in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, Peter, for being with us on the Healing for Male Survivors podcast. And I wish you well on your continued healing journey. And again, if you'd like to join us on future episodes live, you can go to the website, polarlifeconsulting.com/live. If you would like to learn more about my coaching with Polar Life Consulting, where I provide one-on-one coaching and group coaching, both with a focus on healing for male survivors, reach out to me at polarlifeconsulting.com. That is polar, spelled P-O-L-A-R. I would love to hear from you. I want to hear your story. If you would like your story featured on this podcast, contact me via my website. If you like this podcast, please rate and review, because that's how other people can find me, and I really want to spread this message of healing and hope to others. And remember, you are not alone. Healing is possible, and the abuse was not your fault. Let me repeat that. The abuse was not your fault. See you next time on the Healing for Male Survivors podcast.